Very cool. Okay, so I was studying this week, and I was struck by this passage, Mark 13, 1 to 13. As he was going out of the temple complex, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what massive stones, what impressive buildings." Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here on another that will not be thrown down." While he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, across from the temple complex, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to take place?" Then Jesus began by telling them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of the birth pains. But you be on your guard. They will hand you over to Sanhedrins, and you will be flogged in their synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings because of me as a witness to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. So when they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you will say. On contrary, whatever is given to you in that hour, say it, for it isn't you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Then brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rise up against parents and put them to death, and you will be hated by everyone because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be delivered." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to see what it is that you're trying to say here. And just guide us through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Jesus had come to Jerusalem. This is his final visit. He was walking through the temple, and he had seen the money sellers, and they upset him. And so he took whips to them and ran them off. But as he's going out after all of this, his disciples were very impressed by this structure. Now, the reason he was talking about, huge stones and all this stuff, is it wasn't finished. They didn't finish this until the year 66 A.D. They kept building it, and they had these big stones just being brought in that they would then move into place. And so the temple was becoming more and more impressive every day. And they were very impressed with this. Look at how big and wonderful this is. Well, it was because of what they call the Herods. It was the dynasty of Herod, various different Herods. And they wanted a memorial to themselves. So they figured, okay, we're in Israel. We're the most important thing to these people is the temple. We're going to build them this huge, wonderful temple. Now, once again, when they came back from Babylon, they built this tiny little temple that fulfilled the purpose because it had all of the parts to it. But it says that when those who had seen the original temple saw this temple that they had built, they began to cry because it was so unimpressive. It just wasn't up to snuff. How can this be the temple of God? So Jesus says, well, don't worry about it. It's going to be very impressive. It's going to be a wonder of the world. And it won't last. Not one stone will be left upon another. Now, the reason for that was very simple. The rumor got out. We don't know if it was true or not, but the rumor was that under every stone was a gold piece. And that if you tore it down, you could get all of those gold pieces. And so they literally took every single stone and threw it out and tore it all the way down to its foundations to try to get to these gold. As far as we know, there weren't any. But that was the myth that they had. So this then causes them to go out of the temple. They went across the Kidron Valley and came up on the Mount of Olives. And they're looking back across right at the temple. And so they have a discussion. And these disciples say to Jesus, when is all of this stuff going to happen? And what are the signs that it's about to happen? Now, in Matthew, we have a discussion of how we know that it's coming. But that was not in connection with having been to the temple and all this stuff. So they're not really tied. But Jesus really doesn't answer them. He doesn't give them
an exact answer.
Direct, this is the sign of it, and so on.
It's because he doesn't know.
And he says, I don't know when it's going to be. Because the Father is the only one who knows, and he hasn't even revealed it to me. And then he begins giving them answers about things that are going to come that they can watch for. And they're for all times. They are not. They want to know, when's it coming and how do we know? And they expected it to be soon. But he's giving them answers for all times. This is just going to keep going on and on and on. And here we are, 2,000 and change years later, and it's still going on. So Jesus explains, watch out for deceivers. And we have had these all through history. People who have come along and they've said, I'm the guy, follow me. Jesus says, watch out for these guys. You'll know them by their fruit. Because if what they're doing is to the glory of God, then they're actually working for God. And if it is to the glory of themselves, then they don't matter. They don't have the power. He says, these people are going to claim to be me. They're going to say, hey, I'm the reincarnation of Jesus. And they're not. Hint, there is no reincarnation of Jesus. Jesus is coming back himself in the air. If the guy was born, it's not Jesus. Jesus already been born. He don't need to do it again. Don't be led astray by events. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be conflicts. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be floods. There's going to be all kinds of terrible stuff. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And then a bunch of idiots are going to show up and they're going to start saying, oh, it's because we're not taking care of the environment. He didn't say that. But that's basically what we're hearing. Is, oh, all of the stuff that Jesus said was going to happen. And they're saying, oh, it's the environment. No, it's not. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Don't be led astray by events. This is only the beginning. Time and again, people have thought, this is it. World War I was originally called the Great War. And they figured, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is the Great War. The war to end all wars. That's it. Jesus is coming back as soon as we can whip these guys. He didn't. So then they said, oh, we didn't get it right. Let's do it again. And we have World War II. He's still not back. And so now we're having all these little regional conflicts and stuff. Partially, this has to do with what was going on similarly, what was going on back in Jesus' day. Okay? The Israelis had to get it through their heads that God is not the bigger God than the other gods. God's all the God there is. Everybody else is bad guys. They're working for the other side. And he says it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and you're going to keep thinking it can't get much worse than this. This is it. He's got to be coming tomorrow. And they've been doing that for 2,000 change years. Extended period will precede his actual coming. And it has. It's been 2,000 years. What's to say it won't be another 2,000 change years? What's to say it won't be another 10,000 change years?
The word has to go to all the nations.
That's right.
And they keep discovering more and more nations every year.
That is the point.
Every year there's more.
We have to go out and everybody, it wouldn't be fair if everybody didn't have a chance to hear. Yeah. So we have to make sure the word gets to every nook and cranny of the earth. So then he talks about personal dangers. They'll be handed over for persecution. Guess what? Very often, we've had Christians turned over for persecution by Christians because you're not the right kind of Christian. Okay? Spanish Inquisition is a good example. We just, you know, you're not a good enough Christian. You're not the right kind of Christian. Okay? The gospel must reach everyone. We have hordes of mission organizations that's their whole goal in life is to find that last bunch that hasn't heard about Jesus and go tell them.
Unreached people.
Yep, that's it. We actually have a division of the Foreign Mission Board, International Mission Board, it is called now, that they're sent to unreached people. They're not sent to go tell some particular body. They're to find somebody to go tell. And we're finding that way up in the mountains of China is a really good place to do it. Kind of ticks off the Chinese because they really don't want, you know. But then again, they don't really want to go up there either. So they, okay, have them. Just leave the rest of us alone. But it's going to be opposed. When people are going around and they're trying to lead people to Jesus, it's going to be opposed. We are seeing that right now. We have a Department of Justice in this country that has been proven to be persecuting people who are pro-life. We know that. Luckily, we have a small group of people in the House of Representatives that are trying to get this crap stopped. The problem with this is, who do you get to prosecute somebody when the people you want to prosecute are the prosecutors? It's really difficult. So we have to pray about this. You know, Pat always tells me, you just have to pray about this, Walter. I just want to shoot him. But at any rate, but it says, when you're called in and you're persecuted, and you're mistreated, and you're tortured, and who knows what all these idiots are going to do, don't worry what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you something to say. It may get you killed, but you still need to say it. Don't worry. The things to say will be provided. Opposition will come from every direction, including the officials of your government, which we are seeing right now, and our friends, or people who should be our friends. We see people politically that are just fighting each other. They're supposedly all on the same side. You can't trust anybody, but you have to. You have to pray for people and say, Lord, lead these people in the way they should go. So what does this all mean to us? Don't be overly impressed by stuff. Okay? You look at something, you say, oh, that's so impressive. That's such a big thing. Or that's, you know, oh, I can't believe you did that. Don't be too impressed by that. The Lord can tear it down in a moment. We have had things that have been torn down in a moment just because God said, that's it. I don't like this. Get it out of my sight. Don't be worried about when Jesus is going to come. Okay? They always say, you want to live like he's coming tonight, but you want to be ready if he doesn't come for hundreds of years. And you never want to let anybody get away without telling them about Jesus, because you don't know if that's the last one. Be ready at all times to give a defense for what you believe. There was a guy named Paul Little, and he wrote a book. It was called Know Why You Believe. So that when somebody comes up to you and says, what about this? Thinking that it's ridiculous and you can't defend it. Know why you believe that. And it drives people crazy. I know, I've read the book, I've gotten ready to do it, and somebody will hit me and I come right back, and they go crazy because they're going, I can't believe that you said that. I mean, it's so obvious that that's an absurd belief. And I go, it's not obvious to me. It's obvious to me that it's absurd not to believe that. Okay? The one thing that they cannot do is they cannot tell you that you didn't experience what you experienced. It's the thing like the guy who they were pestering, the Pharisees were pestering him, and he goes, about all this, I don't know. But what I do know is I couldn't see, and now I can, and he did it. That's all that's important to me. The only thing they can do when you give them that kind of a testimony is to call you a liar. And you just go, okay, I guess you'll just have to keep believing that. Because that's my story and I'm sticking with it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. I thank you that you gave me this wonderful sermon that was so much fun to study and get into. Guide us as we go through life and help us to always, always keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.